Our second guest today is Vincent Bruno. His website is stopnoahidelaw.blogspot.com. And Bruno, welcome, or Vincent, welcome to the program. Sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Thank you for having me back.
Some of the things that are on your website and some of the what is there is so mind-boggling that it's mind-boggling, but it's so true because life is bearing it out, it's amazing. Anyway, give us a little rundown on what exactly the Noahide laws are. Tell us how many there are and what they really do mean.
Yeah, sure. Before I do that, you did quickly say that I have two websites now because I am trying to amp this up and get a little bit more professional and trying to create something that politicians would be looking at. So I have a lot of information, a lot more information on the blog that you stated, www.stopnoahidelaw.blogspot.com. But then I opened up a website. It's called www.stopnoahidelaw.com. That one doesn't have as much information, but the information, it does have a lot of information, and it's just more succinctly put. There's a lot less writing. There's a lot. It's just kind of all put together a lot easier, everything in one place so that you can share it. And then on both of those websites, there is the link to the petition to have the Noahide laws repealed in the way that they are written in the United States laws, and we'll talk about that. So what are the Noahide laws?
Could you go off speakerphone?
Oh, I'm on speakerphone? I'm not on speakerphone.
Oh, okay. You seem...
Oh, wait. Can you hear me now? Is it better now?
Not really.
It's not better now.
Okay.
Is it better now or no?
Yes, there you have it. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think I knew what was going on. So were you able to hear everything I just said, or
is
it going to be okay? Okay.
Yes.
So the Noahide laws are, for those who are just tuning into this, they are Jewish laws that come from the Babylonian Talmud that are mandatory for non-Jews. So it's Jewish law that applies to the rest of us, and it's obligatory. And the crime for breaking these Noahide laws is death by decapitation. So I know a lot of your listeners are Christians, so when they first hear these seven Noahide laws, they're going to think they sound a lot like the Ten Commandments, and they're going to wonder why anyone would think that there's something wrong here. But keep in mind, these are defined by Jews and not by Christians. So the first law is no idolatry, and when Christians hear that, they don't necessarily get too upset by that. But the thing is that under Judaism, according to a lot of interpretations, not all, but very popular opinions, Christianity is idolatry because of the Trinity, and we'll talk about that, and about how if you worship Jesus as God, you are guilty of idolatry. So the law against idolatry should, concern Christians. There's also a law against blasphemy, which should also concern Christians, because Jesus was supposedly, was supposedly a blasphemer. There's no sexual immorality, which I don't know how many of your people in your program would take offense to that, but no adultery, no fornication, and things like that. There's no, just to put that part about no sexual immorality, no adultery, now that only applies between non-Jews, meaning that a non-Jew cannot practice fornication or adultery with a non-Jew or with a Jew. However, a Jewish male, and you're going to see a lot of these exceptions for Jews in these laws, a Jewish male may have sex with a either married or unmarried non-Jewish woman, and he escapes any sort of punishment. there is a two-tier system going on here. There's one rule for Jews, and then there's another rule for non-Jews. And that also applies to the next two prohibitions, which are the prohibitions against theft and murder. But Jews may steal from and murder non-Jews with impunity. There's no earthly punishment for a Jew killing or stealing from a non-Jew. The sixth law a lot of people get confused by is do not eat the flesh cut from a living animal. That comes from back in ancient times. It was a common practice. Like we see over in China, we see that in these kind of like non-Judeo-Christian lands, we know that they do eat animals alive, and this was a lot more popular. Especially what they would do is they would cut the foot off of an animal or they would cut the leg off an animal and just sell that. And then they would leave the rest of the animal alive so that the meat would stay fresh. And then they would just cut the limbs off one by one and sell them while keeping the animal alive. So,
Yeah,
we see that. We do see that in China. So we know that it was a practice in the ancient world that was that. And then the most important of the seven Noahide laws is the law for, it's the only positive law. All the other laws are negative laws, what you can't do. The positive law is to set up courts of justice to implement these Noahide laws and, of course, to execute those by beheading who do not agree or who break any of the laws. So I think that at least theoretically, maybe people can understand that there's a problem here. These are from the Talmud. They're not from the Bible. A lot of people get confused by that. They're not from the Bible. Even Jewish scholars say that they're not from the Bible. But some people will try to, both Christians and Jews, I think Jews do it more deceptively, whereas a lot of Christians might be doing it naively, where they try to tell you that the Noahide laws come from the Bible. They don't.
What was that alternative website?
StopNoahideLaw.com.
Okay, good. All righty.
Now the thing is that, you know, people hear this and they say, well, in theory it sounds really bad, but this is more than just theory. So I talked about that petition to have certain laws removed in the United States. And what's going on is certain laws, more than one, if you've heard of the laws surrounding the Noahide laws in the United States, you've heard of Public Law 102-14. But there's actually 12 laws and 5 proclamations which make statements in them which are very disturbing and are inaccurate and are offensive according, you know, to the spirit of the Constitution. So they state things like that the Noahide laws are the foundation upon which the nation was founded, and that it is our responsibility to educate the population about the Noahide laws, and that without them, we're going to tumble into chaos, and that we're going to promise to sign an international scroll pledging to use education and charity to return the world to the values of the Noahide laws. Other things are, you know, stated in these laws. Rabbi Schneerson, who some of your listeners may have heard of, and we'll talk about him soon. Rabbi Schneerson was a very strong, fierce proponent of the Noahide laws. He is honored, and his birthday is recognized in these laws, and he is actually recognized as the leader of world Jewry. And we'll see why it's important, because his opinions in this regard are very important. So these laws, the way they are written, they are not unconstitutional, meaning that they don't necessarily sign the Noahide laws into law. They, however, the way these laws are written, this type of law can be repealed if it is offensive or inaccurate. So, which this is both. The United States was not founded upon Noahide law, and the idea that it was is offensive to non-Jews. So, The government, the president, and the Congress have officially recognized these statements. They've come out and made them, and it's important to kind of do away with that because it sets a precedent, and it's, you know, it's at least officially stated by the government that these Noahide laws are kind of what we're going from in this country, and so we want that repealed. So that's the first kind kind of thing, where you see that there is a complicity of the United States government in this, and there has been for many years, and it's been many laws have been signed and passed, and many recognitions have been made. This has also recently creeped up on the state level, where the Alaska Congress recognized them, and where the Alabama government governor signed some kind of proclamation stating the same thing, that they're the foundation of American civilization. But these Noahide laws also have clout in the United Nations, where the United Nations Diplomat Corps signed onto them and said that they were obligatory. There is an organization inside the United Nations called the Institute for Noahide Code, run by Rabbi Cohen. I think that their website is noahide.org. And they're behind this movement inside the United Nations to get the Noahide laws accepted globally. So I can't tell you on what level. I know the Diplomat Corps signed onto the idea that these are obligatory for all of humanity. I guess that would mean an official recognition by the United Nations. We have to look a little bit deeper into that. But he's trying to push for getting the United Nations installed, he said it himself, into the constitutions of all the world governments. So that is that organization and the United Nations agenda as far as that. Then there is the issue that the Vatican has also recognized these Noahide laws as obligatory twice. An official proclamation, the Holy See, has made it known that there are limits on individual freedom and that we need to kind of accept these Noahide laws as incumbent, I think is the word that they used, upon ourselves. And there's still more. There is, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get your listeners to understand that this is a branching octopus or hydra that is not toothless. The next disturbing problem is that there's a growing alliance between this Noahide movement, Jews who believe in these Noahide laws and implementing them, and Sharia Islam. So Islam carries basically, some people recognize that the Noahide laws sound a lot like Sharia, especially with the beheading for idolatry, for blasphemy, for sexual immorality. Basically, what the Jews are telling the Muslims is, to a degree, they're saying, look, your Sharia actually works for us, and Sharia is actually complying with the Noahide, and we can kind of work together on this and get along. So they are getting Islam under their belt, and there's also the Israeli government that is involved in this. Well, before we talk about the Israeli government, let's just quickly talk about the proselytization conversion that's going on. Now, there's the Noahide laws, but the Noahide laws are a spiritual system which you can follow. And you can adopt these Noahide laws onto yourself and listen to the guidance of rabbis, and you become known, become what is known as a Noahide. So oftentimes these Noahides will go to Israel and pledge allegiance to a certain rabbinical council over there, and they pledge to spread the Noahide laws, to live by the Noahide laws. And that's a growing movement around the world. I know a lot of your members probably will think that they haven't met one. Go online, go into Facebook, you know, to find Noahide websites, and you'll see that around. NoahideWorldCenter.org, AskNoah.org. Those are some conversion centers that are going on. And the Israeli government is behind these conversions. So they are behind people going into other nations and bringing people to these Noahide laws. And if you, for Christians, when you, these Noahides, all the ones that I've met, and when you go through their literature, they're very anti-Christian. You know, they it's a very anti-Christian movement. And, I know that's what's important to your readers, to your listeners, in regards to their life. So there's the Israeli government that's behind it. Now, how much longer until our next section?
Let's see, we have about 5 minutes.
Okay, so...
until our next commercial.
Okay, until our next commercial. Well, maybe in the next commercial we can start getting into Freemasonry, because Freemasonry is also involved in this, and it's going to have a little bit more to do with what we're going to talk about today, because the last time I was on here, we went through the Noahide Laws in depth. I think we went through a strong, we went through everything, and we talked about the infiltration of Black Lives Matter, how they are, what they're doing is they're going in from both angles, and they're saying, well, look, there's a lot of revolutionary activity, a lot of anti-Christian activity, a lot of Marxist activity going on in Black Lives Matter, and this is all because we have moral chaos. And so if we had, you know, they focus on the theft that's going on with the Black Lives Matter, and they'll, you know, they're telling them, well, if we had a Noahide system in place, we would be better protected. We'd be better protected from murder. You know, we need the Noahide laws to protect us. But then on the other end, they're going into the Black communities, and they are telling them that their work for kind of racial justice, as they would call it, is part of the growing, it's part of the Noahide laws, particularly the coming of the Noahide court. So they're going in on the Black side and using their grievances and saying, well, the way it was put to me by one Jew was that they're saying if cops are killing, or if cops are shooting, you know, I know that there's, if their argument is that if more Blacks are being shot disproportionately, then the Noahide laws are being disproportionately implemented and there's an injustice, and so this needs to be corrected. And, you know, from what I've talked about, to even some Jews said that, you know, they should set up Noahide tribunals, and the verdict of the Noahide tribunal could be violent. So, you know, we see that type of infiltration there. And but today I want to talk a little bit more about some of the more subtle ways that they are infiltrating Christianity, but also some older things, especially, you know, to do with Freemasonry and things like that. So did you have any questions before the next segment?
No. I'm just trying to take in everything you're saying.
Yeah, I know. I know it's a lot. And, there's definitely a lot more on the website to go through, but
let me just make a comment. The one website, stopnoahidelaw.com, when you go there, you're going to get a warning that it's unsafe, and if you proceed, your computer's going to blow up or some crazy thing. Just ignore that and follow through.
Really, I'm going to have to fix that. Yeah, they must have done that to me. I think I got shadow banned on Facebook with my other .blogspot.com because I was posting and people were telling me they weren't getting it. And then when I switched over to stopnoahidelaw.com, when I changed the website, people started seeing it again. So Facebook was kind of shadow banning it. Sorry, did I fade out there for a second again?
Pardon me?
Okay, no, I thought it was hard to hear me again because I was keeping the phone away from my
mouth. No, you're good. You're good.
Yeah, so Facebook has been trying to hide it, and
Facebook? Oh, really? They're trying to censor people? No.
Yeah.
I'm teasing.
No. I mean, at least they know. At least it's being tracked as kind of like an undesirable site on there, and they are very. I've been doing lots of activism on this. I did physical public activism with signs, Stop Noahide Law, and information in New York City in the subway terminals, in Grand Central Station, and in Port Authority. And they're very quiet, but you don't really respond. I think
okay.
They know something. Okay.
We're going to a break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we.
All righty, this is Deanna, and we are back with our second guest today, Vincent Bruno, B-R-U-N-O. His websites are stopnoahidelaw.blogspot.com and StopNoahideLaw.com, on which you will get a warning that it's unsafe, but just follow through and it's fine. Your computer's not going to blow up. Nothing's going to happen.
So I was just to finish up what I was just the one point I was ending at before was that I've done lots of. There's internet activism and there's real life activism going out into the public subways and with signs and handing out literature. And they're very quiet. You will find that the Jews are very careful about coming out against these things. I don't think that they want too much attention placed on it. So that at least has been my my experience. But so that hopefully is a recap of everything that we have talked about before in the last program, which was about 2 hours. So I didn't want to be repetitious, so I decided to, I said, let's go into a little bit in detail in one subject that might interest people, and that is Freemasonry. So we already said that the Noahide laws have a lot behind them. They have the United States government, the UN, the Vatican, Islam, the Israeli government, and these converts, but what they also have working for them is Freemasonry. So a lot of people just don't know about the extensive connection between the Noahide laws and Freemasonry. So one thing is that the old charges of their constitution, the 1738 constitution, stated a Mason is obliged by his tenure to observe the moral law as a true Noahide, and if he rightly understands the craft, he will never be a stupid atheist or an irreligious libertine. There are other places in other constitutions where they come out and say that, you know, if you want to be a Freemason, you got to be a Noahide, or that they're one and the same. And in some of them, they actually come out and list all of the seven Noahide laws, so we know that they're talking about the same thing. When you start going through their literature, you'll see a lot of Freemasons will say that, well, a Noahide is a Freemason. You know, they'll give you the definition of Noahide in their compendiums, and the definition is Noahide. They believe that Noah set up the Noahide courts in their literature. And some of them say that the Noahide laws are obligatory for Freemasons. Give me one second. They believe in the Noahide legend, so they believe they're called the Noahide laws because supposedly these laws were given to Noah when he exited the ark. So, and because Noah is the forefather of all of humanity, therefore these laws apply to everyone, whereas the Old Testament laws were supposedly only given to Israel on Mount Sinai, but these preceded Mount Sinai, so they are applicable to us all. So the Freemasons believe in that legend that when Noah came out, he got those seven laws. There is a Freemason order called the Order of the Noahites or Noahites, and also some Freemasons say that Freemasonry came out of an older order pre-Freemason called the Order of Noahites or Cavalier Prussians. And when you go into some Freemason oaths, some of the Freemason oaths contain the oath that the Freemason will act as a true Noahite. And finally, let's just look at this last thing. There is the 21st degree of Freemasonry is called the Noahide, sometimes it's called the Prussian Knight, but it's also called the Noahide. So we see that there's a lot of cross-reference between Freemasonry and the Noahide laws. And another interesting thing that happened, I don't want to forget, is that during the colonial period, when the British ruled India, they established Freemason lodges over there. And they wouldn't let the Hindus in because they were polytheists, but they would allow the Muslims in. But another group that they let in is a very small population over in India called the Parsis, who are Zoroastrians, who practice something closer to monotheism. I don't think it's quite monotheism, but at least it's closer. The Freemasons actually allowed them into the lodges and gave them the designation of Noahide. So they said, you are Noahide, and you are allowed into the lodges. So we know that they were thinking about this in their lodges and that you needed to be a Noahide to get into the lodge. And interestingly enough, there is a current Freemason author who is working to bring together Zoroastrianism, Mazdaism, the Parsi religion, and Christianity together into like a sort of Noahide religion or ideology. So that's the basis of what the connections are between Freemasonry. It sounds like we're going to go again, right?
Yes. Okay, we will be right back in 3 minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
For over 20 years now, Extendabite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna. And our second guest today is Vincent Bruno. His websites are stopnoahidelaw.blogspot.com and stopnoahidelaw.com. And they're both secure websites. We have an email question. Is it true that the Noahide laws would discriminate against the LGBT community?
Yes, they would. So under the rubric of sexual immorality, it does. I know, obviously, I know there's a lot of people, particularly in the Christian movement, that I think there's a tendency to kind of say that homosexuality or the rise in the observance or visibility of homosexuality in the country has a lot to do with Jewish influence. So I get asked about this a lot. People get confused and they try to say that the LGBTQ agenda is kind of wrapped into Noahide. I would say the only way I see that happening is if they are the theory that they are trying to advance what they don't like so that they could come in with the cure.
Oh, I see. Sure.
So, you know, the only way I could see it relating is that way. But if you go into the circles that are really pushing these Noahide laws, you're going to find anti-LGBTQ sentiments. They use that a lot in order to get Christians on their side. They use LGBTQ and abortion
And they say, well, we don't believe in either of those, and we're against them. And so I think you can, you know, they try to tout the Noahide laws as being superior or, you know, ethically viable for Christians, even though it would also do away with them. I don't know. We could probably try to dedicate this next half hour to the rest of the stuff. And then I guess, you know, we want to take questions or something after that.
Sure. Go ahead.
In this regard. So, now, there is, before we talked, we probably did talk about this because I talk about it every time I do a general show on the Noahide laws, and that is the sort of infiltration and subversion of other religions in order to get an in with Noahide. So they're doing this with all religions. They're doing it with Hinduism. They're doing it with Islam to a degree by going in and telling them that they're Noahide compliant, but they're really doing a lot with Christianity. So the modern thing is this. There's a few different routes that they're getting into the Christian church. The one is through this kind of Hebrew moots or Hebrew roots or return to the Old Testament type of ideologies where they are bringing in rabbis and rabbinical literature and saying, well, we want to focus a lot more on the Old Testament again. We want to be thinking about this, and who knows the Old Testament better than rabbis? And then, you know, they get you to listening to these rabbis and interfaith dialogues, and then the rabbis start bringing in the Talmudic literature and the rabbinical literature, and they can kind of slowly, one thing that they want to do, one way that they work is that these Noahides set up something that's called a religious council. So they would set up a Christian religious council, and they would open up your religion and go through it, and they would comb out what is acceptable under the Noahide laws and what is not. So one thing that is not acceptable under Noahide law is the Trinity, because under the prohibition of no idolatry, you have to believe that God is one and not three. And you also would not be able to believe that Jesus is God or worship him as God. So what they try to do, part of it, now they eventually just, want complete abandonment of Christianity totally and for people to become Noahides. But what they start out with is, well, Jesus was just a prophet. Jesus was just a rabbi. You know, he isn't deified, so, you know, they try to get you away from those things. They're really working hard to get people away from the Trinity. But they also have this other method, which is they try, you know, because a lot of Christians find out that idolatry can be prohibitive of them, and they become concerned. And then the Jews come in and they tell them that Christianity is under a designation called Shituf, S-H-I-T-U-F. And Shituf is a designation for a way of worship that is not monotheistic, but it's not polytheistic. So they're basically saying if you're a non-Jew, maybe you're allowed to have an intermediary, Jesus Christ. But there's a lot of definitions around what you can believe he is. And the thing is that you're only allowed to believe this in belief inside your head. But as soon as you go and you say Jesus is Lord, or you go to bow before a cross, or you wear a cross around your neck, which I've heard as well from reputable rabbis, you are practicing idolatry. So they have different subtle ways of infiltrating the church, stripping away what they don't like, particularly the Trinity, and also making you feel as though you're going to be okay under this Shituf thing. Like, you know, don't worry, we're all going to be able to practice our own religion. We have religious freedoms under the Noahide laws, but that's not really what the truth is when you get down to it. And a lot about these Noahide laws, they'll confuse you a lot because it's all about, they'll say, oh, it's opinion. This rabbi says this, that rabbi says that. Well, we shouldn't even be having these discussions. And especially when it comes to what's written in the U.S. law, the Vatican, United Nations, and I mean, just because there's even the best interpretation of this is not a good thing. you know, and like we said, that Rabbi Schneerson, who we talked about, Rabbi Schneerson, who was lauded in those public laws and was the largest proponent of the Noahide laws, he said that Christianity was idolatry, and he said that the Noahide laws should be implemented through force. So we see the more radical end of this is the end that is actually getting the most attention and is the most powerful. So that's kind of like what's going on in the world today, but there is an interesting side note that I've gotten into recently. So I have another blog called bewiseasserpents.blogspot.com, just like bewiseasserpents.blogspot.com. And in this blog, I go into the details of how Freemasonry, Judeo-Freemasonry, is connected to the three interconnected cults of Christian Science, Jehovah's Witness, and Mormons. And I know you were raised Mormon, and we got into the Freemasonry and Mormonism a little bit before. But so we now know that Freemasonry is heavily influenced and even based in Noahidism. What's interesting from what I know, from what I've read, and let me give you the name of who said it, who exactly said this. I can't find him now. Oh, Makey, Albert Makey, who is the really famous one. It's described where
M-A-K-I?
M-A-C-K-E-Y.
Okay, yeah, Makey, okay.
Where that, what's it called? Where Freemasonry rejects the Trinity. Okay, so there is no doctrine of the Trinity. When you go into a lot of Jewish and Freemasonry, they talk about how Freemasonry is based in the Kabbalah. A lot of Freemasonry myths go back to the temple. It is much more a Judeo-mystic religion than it is a Christian mystic religion. There's very little actually Christian in it. And from what it seems, they reject the Trinity, which they would have to do if they were Noahides. Now, the Trinity is actually very popular amongst most Christians, but interestingly enough, the three religions which were founded in Freemasonry all reject the Trinity: Christian Science, Jehovah's Witness, and Mormonism. So now let's just get into the connections. Let's start with Christian Science. So actually, Mary Baker Eddy, who founded Christianity, her husband was a Freemason. He was buried as a Master Mason, and he obtained the degree of Royal Archmason. When she died, when Mary Baker Eddy died, Freemasons built her statue over her gravestone, which was a pyramid, and they also donated a boat to her. What's interesting is that she has a pyramid over her statue, and also which is built by Freemasons, and so does Charles Taze Russell, who is the founder of the Jehovah's Witnesses. He has a pyramid over his gravestone, and both the Jehovah's Witness and Christian Science emblem were the cross and crown, which were very popular amongst Freemasons. Freemasons built Christian Science churches. Their architects were Freemasons, and they added a lot of Masonic symbolism. It's interesting, did you know that Christian Scientists were not allowed to join any other societies except Freemasonry? They were allowed to join, but nothing else. Before their churches were built, Christian Scientists met in Freemason halls. Mary Baker Eddy had her first Bible readings inside Mason halls. There is a list of very famous Freemasons in high positions, and it's extensive. And it's interesting to note that there's an article about how Jews, there were so many Jews in Freemasonry and Christian Science, and the reason that they said that they were there was because it rejected the Trinity. This rejection of the Trinity is really important to Jews and Noahides, and that's one of the reasons why so many Jews were involved. And Christian Science actually believed in the restoration of the physical nation of Israel. And that was, you know, early on, they actually believed in that. So let's move on to Jehovah's Witnesses. Jehovah's Witnesses were founded by Charles Taze Russell. Oftentimes before they had their own kingdom halls, they met in Freemason halls. It's interesting that Charles Taze Russell was a Zionist before there was even Zionism. I think Herschel was the first Zionist, right, that was running around kind of spreading all of this. And yes. But he went before that, and he believed that the Jews should return to Israel. Freemasons,
said that. Napoleon said that in 1799.
What?
That the Jews should return to Israel.
Oh, he did.
Yeah. I'll find and give you a quote.
B'nai B'rith actually funded the Jehovah's Witnesses because they were Zionist supremacists. And Jewish Freemasons backed and financed the Jehovah's Witnesses magazines. The founder, Charles Taze Russell, asked the Rothschilds to establish Israel. He believed that Jews were intellectually and spiritually superior. He believed that God's land covenant with the Jews was still valid, and that the Jews would be the first to receive the Messiah's blessings. And he also believed that the Palestinian Arabs were non-progressive and that their land sold to the Jews was improved. Now, you said you were raised, or not raised, but you were Mormon for a while. I think that Mormonism is the one with the most documentation of connections to Freemasonry and Judeo-Freemasonry, as they're almost self-proclaimed. Joseph Smith's parents were members of occult societies. His members of his family were Freemasons.
Joseph Smith's father and brother were Freemasons. And then Joseph Smith also joined. And I was aware of this, but I didn't realize, I didn't realize a lot of things. And you say, well, a lot of people belong to Freemasons. It was just a popular guys club, right? Nope.
Yeah. Really wasn't. Well, I mean, I think that there's certain ideology that goes along with it, or a certain kind of
up in the upper degrees.
Yes. Yeah. So Joseph Smith was actually inducted into Freemasonry in 1842, and what's important to know is he was made a Mason on site, which means he didn't need to go through all of the rituals in order to become a Freemason. I guess because he had this cult going for him and he had some power behind him, they just let him in without going through all the initiations. And his father, as you said, was a Freemason. The first five presidents of the Mormon Church were all Freemasons. It said, from what I read, there were self-proclaimed secret society occultists who claimed that they were Jews, and they mentored Joseph Smith. Joseph Smith and the early Mormon Church believed Jews would return to Israel, and that's because the Book of Mormon strongly hints at pro-Zionism. Joseph Smith actually sent an emissary to Israel to facilitate the return of the Jews, and there's very extensive research on how Masonic symbols populate a lot of these Mormon temples and things like that. So what I want to point out is that I think that these earlier versions, I think that they were ironing things out, where Freemasons were making sure that these religions that they were creating were in line with the Noahide laws. They were in line with the anti-Trinitarianism, no divinity of Christ, and it's basically a form of religious engineering. I think that this is an older way of doing things, but I would add Jehovah's Witness, Christian Science, and Mormonism to the subversive element of the Noahide laws, and I think that they are probably indirectly controlled. The last thing that I just want to get into quickly, it's very interesting. The opposite side of this is the Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you go to my blog, butharmlessasdoves.blogspot.com, you're going to learn that the Seventh-day Adventist William Miller came, was a Freemasonry, but then supposedly went against it. And I believe he stayed anti-Freemasonry because anti-Freemasonry remained in the Seventh-day Adventist Church for a long time. And actually, they are stated Trinitarians. They broke with anti-Trinitarianism. They are Trinitarians. But they also had a lot of involvement with the Third Reich. I think that that had to do. The Third Reich actually felt comfortable using their magazines, and they felt very comfortable working with the Third Reich. And I think that was because of their anti-Freemasonry. I think that there was a lot of understanding between those two. And give me one second. Oh, yeah. Ellen White was the one that got them out of the non-Trinitarianism. So it's just an interesting, you know, people tend to group those four religions together, but Seventh-day Adventist stands out as anti-Freemasonry. And it's just obviously not under Jewish control or Freemason control at all by their history.
Okay, I found the Napoleon Bonaparte. He said, with the establishment of the Enlightenment philosophy, Napoleon Bonaparte, a Freemason, initiated into the Army Philadelphia Lodge in 1798 while camped near Acre, which is in Palestine, that he was going to restore Palestine to them. He then ascended the throne as Emperor of France, and was in that position from 1804 to 1815. But yes, he did say that.
Yeah, wherever you find Freemasonry, you're going to find a connection to the Jews. You're going to find a connection to the restoration of the temple. You're going to find, you know, that leaning Zionism, and they're gonna go hand in hand. But the way you really nail it together, what really brings it together, is that Noahide connection, that the Freemasons are Noahide, and that they are working for that agenda, that Freemasonry is a Noahide compliant belief system that you can get involved in, and it is aiding and supporting the Jews to, in this Noahide system, they are a level above us. They are the spiritual race. They are the caste, the priestly caste, and they are here to teach us the Noahide laws, and then we are to absorb them and to implement them in our host countries. And this can go on now, but there's, you know, different people that have beliefs about, you know, the Messiah, or the anti-Messiah, the Antichrist. I know that people bring this up where, you know, the beheading, that it's, you know, you're beheaded, and they say that in the book of Revelation, the synagogue of Satan, and being beheaded for the testimony of Jesus. And, you know, a lot of people see a connection between the Noahide laws, Freemasonry, and the, you know, the beast system, the New World Order. I personally believe that if there were to be anything like that going on, I think that what we're looking at is the Noahide laws. I mean, it will persecute everyone. It'll persecute everyone who doesn't support it. It is gaining power, and it kind of like fits a lot of the pieces. You know, when it comes to certain kind of prophecies and stuff like that, it fits a lot of pieces. That's that tangent that I, you know, maybe wanted to start out. Maybe when people call in, we can try to stay around these topics, either Noahide law or the Freemasonry, the Jehovah's Witness, Christian Science, Mormons, Seventh-day Adventist. And, you know, I know people like to talk about all different kinds of things, but if, as long as it has to do with the Noahide laws and Freemasonry and this general type of idea, I think that, you know, how much more time do we have left in this segment before we start taking phone calls?
We are going to a break in a couple of minutes, and then we will open the phone lines when we come back. Well, actually, we're going to a break, then we'll have the top of the hour, then we'll take phone calls in the third hour. I created a page if one visits Spingola.com and you look at some of the buttons. On the right-hand side, it's Leaving the Cult, and I have a lot of information about the Mormon Church, and it's pretty well ground. It's it's very authentic and it's very interesting. And after,
I know they have a lot more things going for them than just Freemasonry when it comes to, you know, surprises about the church. But there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on with them. And, you know, I was raised Jehovah's Witness, so, you know, they had a lot going on with them, too. And I'm sure so did Christian Science. But, you know, they always, you know, people tend to lump them together, and they are. They're kind of like three prongs. You know, I don't know to what degree that the Freemasons and Judeo-Freemasonry still has, like, maybe direct control. But at least that is the river that they are flowing in. And you can see this type of religious engineering that is going on. And it has a different form today.
So, oh, absolutely. You know. And even with Mormonism, in the Sunday classes and in church, you know, we talked about God the Eternal Father and Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost. But then you get into another ceremony, and it's totally different. And you wonder if you're in the right place, because it's not going along with what you learned on Sunday in those Sunday school classes. It's just totally, totally different. And the other thing too is that the church has a huge connection to the government. When you look at the state of Utah and learn about all of the tests that were done in the southern area of Utah that killed a lot of sheep, killed a lot of everything, and they had the first focus center in the country, and they are a corporation. They are a 501c3, and any corporation. Any 501c3 is a corporation, and they are obligated to follow the government. And this designation was not necessary. The only reason they altered it was because they said, well, if you become a corporation, and then you can claim deductions on your taxes, which, you know, well, that's good. We can declare all the 10% tithing and the fast offerings and the building fund and all this other stuff. We can declare those things. So, yeah, and the other thing too, which was kind of interesting, they have an agency within the church called Strengthening Church Members Committee. Now that sounds really terrific. Until you find out that if you say anything negative in public about the church, your local authorities are going to come after you. Okay, we'll be right back. We're at the top of the hour. We'll be right back.
Yeah. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.